Would you join me in prayer? Lord, help us to hear what you would have us hear this morning. We desire to hear your voice, your gentle nudging. Be with us now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The third line of our Lenten introit that we sung this morning said, "So let us choose the path of one who wore for us the crown of thorn." If you've worked with a group of kids for any length of time, or kids, you've probably had this happen too, you've likely heard one kid say to another, "Stop copying me." It's often said by an older sibling or an older child in the group who's getting frustrated as the younger child is trying to keep up by mimicking sayings and or actions of the other child. Yet from the perspective of the copycat, they are often simply looking up to the older child with admiration, wanting to be like this bigger person. Developmental psychologists teach us that this is often how children learn, by observing and copying behaviors. In our epistle reading this week, we are reminded that we are offered an invaluable invitation. We are invited to be imitators of Christ. We are invited to be like the one who is both God and human, the one who lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth. And guess what? He's not annoyed with our attempts to copy him. Rather, we are welcomed. But what about the rest of the reading from this morning? What's with the next part? We're invited to copy Jesus. And then Paul goes into a list of instruction specifically about sexual immorality. So let's step back and look. Paul was writing the book of Ephesians to give new believers a strong grounding in the gospel. They came from a variety of backgrounds, some from Judaism, some were into astrology, others were coming from local religions, new Christians together. In this book, they are given guidance and encouragement to develop a distinctly Christian lifestyle. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the foundation of Christian ethics, love, as seen in Christ's sacrificial death. We are invited to copy this. Sexual immorality was common at the time that Paul was writing, and it was a big problem in the early church, especially among the Gentiles. There was no pervasive social standard about sexual relations. It was not uncommon for masters to be with their slaves. Paul clearly tells the church in Ephesus that this was not okay. Even though there wasn't a clear standard around them in society, Paul was making clear the expectations for those who wanted to be part of God's community. Not only was this to impact their behaviors, but also the way they talked. There was no room for crude jokes. They cheapen sexuality. They make it harder for us to see God's amazing design. And Paul gives a warning. Don't let others' justifications for their behaviors pull you back into your old lifestyle. Kids, you've probably seen peers who try and tell you, "Oh, it's not a big deal. It's just one little lie." Or, "It doesn't really matter if we don't listen to our parents today." And things like that. The challenges are really no different for us as adults, are they? People will often justify their reasons for doing things. Maybe the justifications get longer or more complex. But at the end of the day, others around us will try to justify things and will attempt to normalize it. And we are warned not to be pulled back in. Now, I want to be clear. When we struggle with sin, there is still room for much forgiveness. Paul wasn't asking these people to leave the church. Paul was asking them to work on changing their behavior. Please, let's not keep on sinning or trying to justify our sin as normal. It simply isn't God's best for us. I think this passage applies to so much more than sexual immorality. But Paul targeted that area because it was so common in the church at that time. Where are the areas that we need to target? Where are the areas where we're acting like the culture around us and where we need to develop a distinctly Christian lifestyle? Becoming a Christian is a major change in identity. From darkness to light. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are challenged to consider, are we acting in darkness in ways that we would be comfortable doing in light? Are we talking about others in our life in a way that we would be comfortable talking about them in person? That's just one example. Things we do in darkness, things we do when we don't think anyone's watching. Would we do the same if others were watching? In Ephesians chapter 5 here this morning, we're reminded to be morally vigilant, to deal with the sin that challenges us, and to receive the grace of Christ to help. But what does all of this have to do with our gospel reading, where Jesus casts out a demon? Let's look at Luke chapter 11. This passage is the beginning of a series of controversies between Jesus and the religious leaders. They want to trap him in his words. Have you ever felt a situation like that? No matter what you say, it doesn't feel like it's going to be the right thing. This is the kind of situation that Jesus was being set up in. And yet Jesus has an amazing way of finding the right answer where it seems like there would be no right answer. So the story begins with Jesus' exorcism of a mute man. In other words, he's casting out a demon so that the man can speak. And he's accused of doing so with the power of Beelzebub, or the prince of demons. And the religious leaders are going, "What on earth? Let's accuse you of doing this in Satan's power and see if we can trap you." Jesus responds back, "It doesn't make sense for Satan to cast out his own demonic forces, since a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." Think of the kind of destruction we see when a country's in civil war. That country fighting within itself, it destroys the country. People's lives are ruined, buildings destroyed. It is hard for that country to thrive when there's that infighting. Think of families fighting amongst one another. It is hard for the family to thrive. Jesus then continues with another argument. If you're going to accuse me of casting out demons by the power of Satan, wouldn't this then apply to your own religious leaders and your own followers who are also casting out demons? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He begins to show us what is happening, not only what isn't happening. He says the exorcisms are the work of God, the finger of God. We're seeing God's power at work here. And he describes Satan like a strong man who is then being overpowered by an even stronger man, Jesus himself. And Jesus warns us of the dangers of removing evil without the inward spiritual renewal that comes from the kingdom of God. And tying back into Ephesians, this reminds us that not only is it about removing the sin in our lives, but we need to replace it with good. And that true spiritual blessings come from obedience to God's word. This is a good place. God is not giving us instructions in order to take away our fun. His directions are intended to help us thrive. This obedience comes with blessing. So what can we take away here today? I want to keep it short and simple and just allow a bit of time for each of us to reflect for ourselves on what this might mean for us today as we prepare for Easter. First of all, a kingdom divided cannot stand. We're invited to be imitators of Christ, not sometimes, but all the time. How within ourselves do we seek to copy Christ in all things we do? How is it that we can live as people of light? Second, we are challenged to address sin. And this morning, I want us to pay special attention to those things that are considered normal around us. Things that seem justified by society, and perhaps even within the church. Where are those areas that God's inviting us to copy him in new ways that would bring greater blessings for ourselves and for those around us? Let's just take a moment and pause here. We've had a time of confession, but sometimes as we read the word and we're listening, we need that time of confession again. Maybe God wants to lay an area on your heart this morning, an area where we could do differently. A sin that we need to address, an area where others might be trying to say it's not such a big deal, but where we're very invited to do more here this morning. So just take a moment, we'll quietly pray. Jesus, thank you for the example that you've set for us, for the way of love that you walk in. Show us this morning, this week, this Lenten season, where it is that you would have us address sin so that we may live more like you. And in doing so, that we may be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one last thing I want to leave you with this morning is that invitation to copy Jesus. He's not going to get tired of your attempts to copy. He's not going to laugh at you as you fail on the way. He's here to pick you up and walk with you. There are so many ways we could look at what does it mean to copy Jesus, to follow his example. And I'll leave that for you to continue to reflect on throughout this Lenten season. But let's not grow weary in doing so. Rather, let's encourage each other as we seek to be imitators of Christ, walking the way of love.